Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the MD's Fantasy Football Show with Dan Mader. X's and O's of all things fantasy.
Well, for the last Thursday of the year, we are coming to you live from the MD's Fantasy Football Show. For the last time ever, we're coming to you live from the MD's Fantasy Football Show. It's Thursday night. We got injury inquiries and NFL cashing tickets with Jazz Flaherty on the second half of the show. Yes, you heard me right. In case you haven't been listening to the beginning of our shows last couple of weeks, the MD's Fantasy Football Show is coming to an end, but never fear. We're only coming back out with something new, just something different, and with maybe new faces that you're not always used to seeing, like Chase and Chris and Adam, and we're all becoming co-partners rather than just being, you know, my show. So we're going to be able to see a lot of things that we were not able to see before. Very excited for it and the opportunity that it's going to do for me, give me more free time, and us to get more creative, to give you better content and great fantasy football advice and player props, cashing tickets, bets. That's what we're all about. We're making money, NFL domination. That's what we want at the end of the day. As always, I'm your host, Dan Mader. Thanks for subscribing to our YouTube channel. If you subscribe to our YouTube channel and you follow us on social media, you'll be grandfathered into the new brand whenever that gets announced, which hopefully won't be until, you know, the end of January or even sooner than that. We'll have to see. But tonight is about the NFL injury inquiries. It's their fantasy football championships. We got to figure out who exactly is going to be available to us or who we need to block and pick up off the waiver wire. So with no further ado, let's introduce our very special guest of the evening. And now, the moment you've all been waiting for. He's the number one medical expert in all of fantasy sports, Mr. Brian Scott!
I'm not worthy.
That's right, baby.
I'm not worthy.
Feel the music one last time for 2023.
It's been a good year.
It has been a great year. Always when I get you, Brian, you bring, I have to say, invaluable content to this show. And you will bring invaluable content to the new show that we have. I mean, Brian's not going to go anywhere. We're going to make sure we have his segment on at some point, in some way, some sort of fashion, without a doubt.
Brian, I'm excited. Sometimes it's good just kind of restart, you know, kind of get back in there, reorganize, regroup, put out something fresh. So I'm excited, Dan, with what you got in the works here.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. It's going to be a lot of new stuff. It's going to be a busy off season. And just to put that out there real quick, we are going to do, you know, dynasty content like we always done. Everything just made it look a little bit different, but ultimately we're still going to get dynasty content. We're still going to do NFL draft coverage. We're still going to be doing best ball and getting guests on and going to the expo. And it's all going to be there. Just a little different take that maybe you'll enjoy a little bit more. I'm very excited about it. But anyway, Brian, we got a lot we got to talk about. I know it's championship week. There's 1 week left for everybody. Maybe you're in leagues where you have 2 weeks, and I call those the amateur hour leagues. Get out of those leagues. You shouldn't be in those leagues. But unfortunately, I got a laundry list of guys that we got to get into, man. So yeah, let's kick this thing off.
I thought the list would get progressively smaller, and it's actually grown exponentially as the weeks have gone on here.
we'll get, my thought is like, okay, championship week. Like, there's only a several handful of players that we're talking about here because it's championship week. We're down to smaller amount of teams, but everyone's still relevant as it comes down to it. So first and foremost, Trevor Lawrence now dealing with a shoulder. I mean, it's the third week in a row. He's had a different injury every time. Every time I think he's not going to play, and he's been able to do so to this point. So what do you think about Trevor Lawrence this week?
I don't think it's going to be much different with him. You know, throughout his career here so far, he has played through a lot of small kind of nagging injuries, nothing severe. And this is really no different. So I don't really see much changing this week. He was limited today, but they're saying he's day to day. And they play the Panthers this weekend, so I'm sure he'll get in there. He might not have a full workload depending on the outcome of this game, but we'll see him at least start and get some reps.
Okay, well, I mean, that is good news. Limited today. Like, we want Trevor Lawrence out there. If not for Trevor Lawrence's sake, because, by the way, I don't have him ranked as a top 12 quarterback, but I do want him out there if you needed Calvin Ridley, if you've been holding on to Evan Ingram, who's been on fire with the target share that he's seen. You want him out there for those guys in particular, even if you're not going to play Trevor Lawrence, which, by the way, against Carolina, you shouldn't. You should have a better option. In fact, one of your better options might be this guy, C.J. Stroud.
Well, supposedly he cleared concussion protocol and was a full participant in practice today, so it sounds like he will be available.
All right, C.J. Stroud back in the building. Fire up Nico Collins. I got him as a top 15 receiver. Follow up Noah Brown. I have him as a high-end wide receiver 3. These are guys you want in your lineups in a great matchup against Tennessee, and C.J. Stroud, a top 10 quarterback for me. So you go ahead and fire everybody up. And that includes Devin Singletary, too, playing him with a ton of confidence. Will Levis and his ankle issue, what do we got here?
So he was a full participant today, and it sounds like he is gearing up and on track to play this weekend, so we should see him.
Okay, wow. Well, Will Levis is going to come out there. I didn't think we were going to see Will Levis again this season, so I was shocked to see he was progressing through. Shocked there. How about Taylor Heinicke? He came out with an ankle issue. The second time he's gotten opportunities to start, and after his first start, he winds up picking up an injury, and this time off of a decent performance on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was serious. He got a limited practice in today. It could just be that they're taking him along slowly. Don't want to aggravate this thing. Keep an eye on what happens tomorrow and heading into the weekend, but they should have a status. I'm sure he'll be questionable, but if he gets some reps in tomorrow and is able to go Sunday, I think we'll see that happen.
Well, how about that? We got across the board there. Pretty good news on the quarterback front. Not something we were used to always getting here.
Well, there's much good news when you look at the entire group during the entire season. It's been pretty miserable, the quarterback position. So any news like this is good news at that position this year.
Yeah, that's true. Thank God for that. All right, so let's get to our next one and see if we got more good news on the way.
It's bad. It's so bad. There's blood everywhere.
The running back position is really tough, man. I got to be honest. The running back and receiver position these last few weeks has been really difficult to kind of predict about what exactly is going on. And this entire group, I'm just going to preface this by saying a lot of guys were limited Wednesday. Some of them were no practices at all. Could have been just rest days for a lot of these guys as we get deeper and deeper into the season and playoffs loom ever closer. Wednesdays are usually just kind of a walkthrough session. They're really not very strenuous. So a lot of guys will just take that opportunity to rest. So I wouldn't look too much into what happened yesterday. It's really about what happens today, but even more importantly, it's what happens tomorrow heading into the weekend. So despite what we say here tonight, pay close attention to tomorrow, because that's really going to be the deciding factor is tomorrow's practice. So a lot of these guys didn't practice yesterday, and of the couple that did, they were all limited. So we'll just run down the list. I'll kind of try to keep it concise for you. Josh Jacobs with this quad issue. He's been dealing with this for a while. Did he miss last week's game?
He did miss last week's game, yeah.
Yeah, and he didn't practice yesterday. I'm not sure if he got in there today at all.
He didn't practice today.
Yeah, so, I mean, this doesn't sound promising for this weekend. Again,
Let me jump in there, though. The reports are, because this is what's confusing right now. He didn't practice yesterday. He didn't practice today. But beat writers reporting that the feeling is that Josh Jacobs is kind of expected to go this weekend.
Well, feeling is one thing, but what actually transpires on the field is another. So, again, I would expect to see him doing something by tomorrow. in order for him to suit up and play. With a soft tissue injury like this, it's not a hamstring, obviously. It's a quad. These tend to be much less of a problem to bounce back from. So, you know, we should see him at least do something heading into the weekend, especially when you consider that he missed last weekend. If he didn't miss last weekend, I'd probably say, okay, that might be realistic. Maybe those feelings are real, but I don't trust when beat reporters are saying the feeling. I don't know whose feeling. Is it the reporter's feeling? Is it the player? I mean, whose feeling?
It's just their vibe in the locker room or what? I don't know.
That's based on third party observation, not actual information coming from the medical staff. So take that with a grain of salt. Moving down the list, Isaiah Pacheco, he didn't practice. Now he's coming off a concussion, and this is after he just came back from an injury. This guy seems to get banged up a lot. Concussion protocol requires you to get back out there and do stuff. So until we see him do anything, he will not clear. This could come down to the wire, depending on what he's able to do tomorrow and if he did anything today. But he didn't practice as of yesterday. So,
I'll throw the caveat in. Now, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is expected to go. He did not practice today, but it sounded like it might have been a rest day.
That might have just been a rest day then.
Yeah. Jerry McKinnon's on the IR. So that's why Clyde Edwards-Helaire is what we have to look at here, because if there is no Pacheco and we already know there is no Jerry McKinnon, I have Clyde Edwards-Helaire as the top 24 running back, lock him in, you know, RB2 play this week, because he could be looking at a great matchup against Cincinnati and all of the work. So that could be a big one there. We have to watch and wait and see. That could win championships.
Yeah. And this is like one of those things you got to pay really close attention to, because just because he didn't practice today and he's in concussion protocol doesn't mean like he's that far away from coming back. You know, some guys can basically be symptom free within like 24 hours. So it could be a big change from today to tomorrow. So, and from then tomorrow to Saturday and Saturday to Sunday. So again, this could be a last minute thing. As long as he's able to get cleared in time before the game, then you can have an answer, you know, fairly quickly here.
I like that.
Chuba Hubbard. Okay. So hamstring, we've said it all year. If you guys have listened to the show, he was limited. Unless he got a full practice in today or tomorrow, then I don't expect him back. Any type of hamstring injury, especially the hamstrings, you really got to test it out. The only way to do that outside of game conditions is to get a full practice in, full intensity, you know, with maybe a little bit of contact. They don't really do much practice, but limited stuff with the hamstring doesn't tell me anything. You know, it tells me that he's not ready is what it tells me, but it doesn't tell me anything about him being available for the game.
I mean, so, and that's fair. Here's what I find interesting. He gets in and out of the game. He played the entire game last week and didn't have to get knocked out of it. Limited on a hamstring Wednesday and Thursday. Now, the Wednesday is actually more significant to me in this instance, because when you're a running back and you're dealing with a hamstring injury, if you're actually hindered at all, they don't even practice you, period, on a Wednesday. Yeah. So that's where I'm a little bit curious to see if that softens your stance at all.
So I mean, like we said, Wednesdays are usually just a limited kind of walkthrough thing. So it really doesn't tell us much about what his limited activity was. Could have been that he was just working on the side while they were going through their walkthroughs, maybe with the medical staff. Doesn't really tell us much. Limited today, though, tells us a lot more, because they're out there running through drills, running through plays, you know, going through sets. That tells me a little bit more. Now, we don't know if he's actually injured. Perhaps he was just feeling a little sore. Maybe there was some concern about a potential injury. Maybe he couldn't really clearly kind of dictate what exactly was the problem. And so they're just being cautious here as we head into the weekend, you know, maybe not trying to create an injury where one doesn't exist. But again, even so, I expect a full practice session in before we see him, because if you can imagine, you know, having this up in the air and then throwing him out there on game day, you're setting him up for disaster and potentially having to be taken out mid game or early in the game. So you don't want that either from a coaching position and a management position. You want to know what you're going into, you know, what all the decks are in your hand as you head into the weekend. You don't really want to have these kind of lingering question marks come kickoff. So,
Carolina, I question your logic and reason.
Yes, and I'm not talking specifically about Carolina. I'm just kind of making a general statement here. But yes, and then, you know, these are the things you got to take into consideration, right? We're talking about the Panthers here, so who the hell knows, right? Like.
All right, so Brian Robinson, what about him?
So limited.
Right. That's the first time we've seen him in practice at all, though.
Correct. So he didn't miss, I think, Wednesday and was limited today. So, I mean, like, literally kind of baby steps here getting back on the field. So Yeah, and he missed last week. So
he did. So if he's not ready to go, I do have Antonio Gibson right now ranked as RB35, and that's with the anticipation of there not being a Brian Robinson, and we already know Chris Rodriguez got put on the IR, so that's a moot point too. Look, even with those two guys out, we saw before Washington, they went back to Jonathan Williams. Like, they get other guys involved. For whatever reason, they seem to have no interest in handing Antonio Gibson the full workload. To top it all off, they're playing against San Francisco. Now, when you're running back and you're getting the full workload, I don't really care who you're playing against. You at least have a flexible floor. And that's why I have Antonio Gibson ranked the way he is. But just be a little bit weary that they might try to bring somebody out, and that somebody, even if he's off the practice squad, might get involved to at least some degree. So Gibson should be nothing more than a bottom floor flex play in your expectations of your championship lineups this week. So I just kind of wanted to add that in. Who we got? We got with Zach Moss.
Yeah, so it's like this mystery forearm injury. I'm not really sure what it was. I didn't think it was anything serious. I saw the play where he got injured. Couldn't really tell what happened. And then he missed last week, and he was limited yesterday. I think maybe today as well. I'm not sure, but definitely yesterday. So, you know, this could be one of those kind of day-to-day things, see how he feels and game time decision.
Yeah, I mean, really, the only thing you care about from the Zach Moss standpoint is like, okay, if Zach Moss is out of the way, John Taylor's guaranteed a certain level of workload. I mean, that's all really boiling down here, too. But regardless, you're playing Jonathan Taylor. It doesn't really matter what Zach Moss's availability is or isn't. Okay, let's get to the wide receivers. This is a big one. This one, maybe I'm feeling more positive on it. What do you got on Ja'Marr Chase and a shoulder coming back potentially?
Well, did he practice today? Because he missed yesterday.
He was a limited participant in practice today. And I'm going to add another caveat. You cannot talk the amount of smack that man is talking right now on social media to the Kansas City Chiefs if you ain't going to play on Sunday. So and that's how I'm kind of reading this thing.
That might be a good tell. I mean, that might be a tell. So, I would actually pay attention to that a little bit closer than what I'm going to say, because, AC joint sprain actually took me by surprise that he even had this injury and that he missed as much time as he has. Didn't sound like it was serious, but then he missed a week. I didn't expect him to miss last week. So who knows, man? But maybe that, you know, smack talk is a sign that things are moving in the right direction. We're going to see him suit up.
Yeah, I mean, he's just giving it to Kansas City on social media right now. Like, he wants them to hear about it. I'm like, dude, you better be playing this week, because you cannot say what you're saying and knock it out there on the field.
You better be healthy, too, because you know they're going to be have a target on your back.
Oh, yeah. So, guys, I think Ja'Marr Chase, if you made it to the championships without him last week, I think you do get him back for this week. And I know it's a tough match against Kansas City. You got to play your studs. You got to play Ja'Marr Chase. All right, Michael Pittman. This thing was so weird last week.
I don't know what's going on with him. He just came, he came back from what looked like a brutal concussion. And he got cleared too. And did he play last week? He played, right?
No, he didn't play. He didn't play at all. So
I thought he got cleared.
He did.
Oh, I remember now. This was they flip flopped on this, which is really kind of odd, because apparently he cleared concussion protocol, but then had concussion symptoms again, which is odd. Maybe something happened in practice that caused him to have this or he's having this post-concussion syndrome, which we hear a lot about, where you basically develop symptoms long after the concussion has occurred, and they just kind of keep lingering. So maybe he never really didn't have concussion. I don't know. It's hard to really say what's going on here. But he was limited in practice. So, I mean, there's a chance, again, we could see the same kind of scenario play out here heading into the weekend. He might actually clear. Hopefully he doesn't have a return to the symptoms and he's actually really clear this time and feeling good, but have to keep a close eye on that if you have him on your roster.
Well, exactly. That's going to be the thing heading into this week, is that you're going to have to double check Michael Pittman, because what happened last week, practiced him full on Friday with clear concussion protocol. Saturday night, all of a sudden having sensitivity to light, they wound up having to roll him out Sunday morning out of nowhere. And now we're back at Thursday. List is a limited participant in practice today, but the report was that he cleared concussion protocol already. He was clear for contact during today's practice. So now it seems to be all over the place with Michael Pittman. Waiting to see what happens tomorrow. We are looking for a full practice, but the report is right now that Michael Pittman is active and ready to go. I don't trust that until we actually get closer to game time. So still have a backup plan in place. And honestly, my backup plan, I would just look at Josh Downs. He had 9 targets last week. I know it wasn't a big fantasy stand, but the target share was there without Michael Pittman. It's going to have to go somewhere. If not a Josh Downs, there are some other guys I put out on my waiver wire rankings list on social media that you can go ahead and look at to see if they're still available to you, but have a backup plan for Pittman, even though he's being called cleared right now, because this seems a little bit messy what's going on with him at the moment, as Brian just laid out. What about Jalen Waddle? And he picked up an ankle issue.
Yeah, so he missed practice on Wednesday with Tyreek Hill too, by the way, which sounds like it could have just been a rest day for both those guys. Not sure what Waddle did today. I know, and I think that injury took him out of the game, right? When he got hurt, like, yeah. So, I mean, his injury is probably pretty significant. I'm not sure there's much to read into the Tyreek Hill thing. They're probably just letting, you know, give him an extra rest day.
Tyreek Hill hasn't practiced much since his practicing. And with Jalen Waddle, so it was one of those, Brian, where they called it a high ankle, but not a severe high ankle. So Mike McDaniel didn't want to rule him out, but he hasn't practiced the last 2 days. I don't think he's going to play, personally.
Yeah, high ankle or not. I mean, even if it's a regular low ankle sprain, I mean, those can be significant too. I mean, we kind of tend to think that guys can bounce back really quickly with those, but if they're significant enough and you've got like a moderate sprain, a regular low ankle sprain, I mean, those can be very painful. You can get very, very swollen, very stiff in the ankle very quickly. And if not, you know, given time and adequate rest to get that to subside, then these can certainly set you back a couple weeks. So high ankle sprain or not, I mean, it doesn't sound like he's going to be ready.
Yeah, and another guy, there's another big-time receiver picked up an ankle issue last week, Jordan Addison. What do you think the prognosis on him is going
to
be?
I mean, this sounds like it might be similar to the Jalen Waddle thing. If he wasn't able to go today, I know he did not go yesterday. Again, like we said earlier, it's a kind of a walkthrough day, so it's not a huge deal to miss on Wednesday, but Thursday and Friday are the two big days of the week where a lot of the preparation and practice activity ramps up. And so if guys aren't on the practice field, then it makes it really hard for them to prepare. And usually that sends a signal to us that they're dealing with their injury and it's quite significant and they're not ready to be back out there. So if he wasn't out there today and he can't get out there in full, at least, or limited tomorrow, then it's going to be kind of a question mark heading into the weekend, and pay close attention.
It's going to be a lot of Justin Jefferson. We got to harp on this though, because this news came out earlier today. So guys, guess what? The Minnesota Vikings are going to go with Jaren Hall. They're going to go back to their rookie quarterback who they traded Josh Dobbs, so they didn't have to start him before. And then they started McMullins the last couple of games, and now they're going to start Jaren Hall. Jordan Addison is going to be out. TJ Hockenson, who we're going to talk about in a second, we already know he's going to be out for the rest of this season. So yes, Justin Jefferson will get the ball. I don't care who's at the quarterback position. He'll be the number one target. You're playing him no matter what. Maybe the ceiling comes down a little bit just because we don't have a sample size to know exactly what Jaren Hall is throwing the football. The key is here with the Jordan Addison issue. KJ Osborne was somebody who had made my waiver wire rankings list. Because I don't know what to expect out of Jaren Hall, despite the fact that the targets should be consolidated, I don't know how much I want to trust a KJ Osborne, who's already risky as it is, on top of a quarterback that I don't know what to expect in my championship week, despite the fact that it's a good matchup on Sunday Night Football. Now, having said that, maybe if you don't have a better option, he should be in line for a 20% team target share, which should put him around the wide receiver twos as far as volume is concerned. We'll have to see what kind of productivity he has off of that. But being that we don't know what to expect out of Jaren Hall, who was a one read and run type quarterback in BYU in college, I'm probably going to look at other options this week, and it'll reflect that in my rankings. KJ Osborne was my flex consideration, got dumped down to a wide receiver 4. So that was a big one that we kind of had to get into. What do you got for these Packer receivers?
Well, Christian Watson's dealing with the hamstring thing. He didn't practice yesterday. I'm not even sure if he got out there today at all. And again, with the hamstrings, even if it was a limited practice until I see him go full and test that thing out, I'm not expecting him back. Jaden Reed, right? Is that the other one you're talking about?
Yes.
Or Dontayvion Wicks?
Both.
All three. Yeah, so Wicks, you know, I picked him up like 2 weeks ago when Tyreek Hill didn't play. And man, he came through huge for me. Got me into the next round where I then subsequently lost and he got injured. And he was out, right, last week too. And now he's dealing with an ankle and a chest injury. Didn't practice yesterday. Not sure what he did today. Again, could be a day-to-day thing. I think it's the ankle that's more the issue now than the chest. I think the chest thing was the thing that kind of helped, or he aggravated 2 weeks ago as well, but sounds like that wasn't as serious. I think they did x-rays and didn't see any rib injuries or anything to his chest, so sounds like the ankle is the issue that's kind of holding him up. With Jaden Reed, though, he actually got 2 consecutive days of practice in, so it looks like he's trending towards playing.
So we should have Jaden Reed at the very least. Yeah, Dunsavian Wicks got knocked out of the game last week with an ankle issue, didn't return. So I'm hard-pressed to believe that we'll have Dunsavian Wicks back this week. I'm hard-pressed to believe that we'll have Christian Watson back this week. So Jaden Reed, if he's good to go, he assumes my number one Packer receiver position as far as who gets the allotment of the targets. They've been using him as a Swiss Army knife anyway, and I think he should be a flex consideration. Romeo Doubs will be a high-end wide receiver 4 because he'll be the other guy getting the targets outside the tight end group, which actually we have one to talk about later on in just a minute. Before we get there, though, we still have 3 more receivers to get through here. So Cortland Sutton, what do you think he's going to do with his concussion issue?
Well, didn't practice yesterday, but it's a walkthrough typically. He practiced today, so that's good.
Did not practice today.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, so again, with the concussions, it's very subjective. It really depends how they're feeling. But getting through practices, getting through some light physical activity and ramping up from there is part of the protocol. So you got to do that to get cleared. So until we see him do anything, going to be hard pressed. You know, he's got 3 days, possibly Sunday he can get cleared. We'll see. That has happened this season where guys have gotten cleared last minute. So something you have to kind of pay close attention to, because like we said earlier, the symptoms on this are very subjective, but things can turn around very quickly. Guys can go from having symptoms to having no symptoms within less than a day sometimes. So it's really subjective. Just keep an eye on it.
Let's hope so. We got Jared Stidham, who's going to be the quarterback for that team. And look, if you're going to ask me the question, okay, well, can I play Jerry Jeudy if there's not going to be a Cortland Sutton? My answer is no. Don't do it to yourself. Just don't. Just avoid the Denver Bronco receivers altogether. Zay Flowers and a calf. This is a new injury for him.
Yeah, he didn't practice Wednesday. I'm not sure if he went today.
Nope.
Calf injuries, like we've seen that earlier in the year, we had a couple of big names players with those. Joe Burrow being probably the most memorable one since it happened in preseason and all that. But yeah, these can take a while. Something you really can't test it out until you're feeling good, because they can easily be re-aggravated. Similar to like a hamstring injury, not usually as bad, but certainly significant. And so until we see him at least in a limited fashion return to practice, I wouldn't expect anything this week.
Yeah, I think he's really in danger of not playing this week. And if he doesn't go, OBJ should be looking at a healthy target share. So he can be like a sneaky low end, you know, flex play, high end wide receiver 4, somewhat in that territory. I don't like the matchup against the Miami Dolphins with the way their secondary has been playing as of late. But the target's going to have to go somewhere for Lamar Jackson. And outside of Isaiah Likely, if there's no Zay Flowers, it's the only other go-to option to go with. You're not going to play Nelson Aguilar or anything like that. So definitely one to watch, could be very significant. What about Zay Jones? Is he going to come back this week?
Well, he was limited in practice, which is a good sign. If he can ramp up his activity and get back to a full session in, I think we could see him.
Okay. Well, we'll keep that a possibility too. Again, now we're not talking about Zay Jones. We're a fantasy asset. We're talking about Zay Jones, the target splitter of Calvin Ridley and Evan Ingram, and whether or not he's going to be on the field. So that's what we worry about there. All right. With that, let's get to the tight ends. We know Hockenson's out, but what is his prognosis in your mind for next year?
Well, this is what sucks about tearing your ACL this far into the season, not only because it basically eliminates you from being able to participate in the playoffs should your team make it, but it puts into serious question whether or not you'll be ready for next year at all. And so that's really going to be the big kind of question mark that surrounds him during his recovery for the next minimum 9 months. Along with the MCL tear, he probably had some other meniscus damage. How significant that was, whether that needed to be addressed during surgery, will also sometimes change or slow down the rehab initially, and that could potentially prolong his recovery and ability to get cleared by the surgeons when it comes time for that. So something to you know, pay close attention to as we get closer to the preseason minicamp stuff, in the spring and fall, summer, I'm sorry. But yeah, I mean, you know, you're looking at least 9 to 12 months before you see him back on the field in competitive football, full participation, no restrictions. And, you know, as we've been seeing a lot lately, some of these guys are going closer to that 10 to 12 month mark and some even longer, depending on what happens. So puts into serious jeopardy his whole 2024.
Yeah, that's rough. And if you're in dynasty, it's really rough for you if you're in a situation where you've had TJ Hockenson in your dynasty leagues and you're looking pretty as a result of that. But right now, you're going to have to stay fast because he's not going to have any trade value, too good to give up. And we'll have to see come 2024, which could be a strong tight end class for redraft leagues. We might actually have a number of tight ends for once that we can draft confidently, but I don't know if Hockenson will be one of them. What about Cole Kmet? What do you got on him?
Dealing with some type of knee issue. He didn't practice yesterday or today. So, you know, we'll see what happens tomorrow and whether or not he'll be available. Didn't sound good, though, in some of the reports I read.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to be able to go. That's going to be another tough loss. It's going to be another pivot option you guys are going to have to be able to go to. And we'll work through that. Make sure you go to my rankings, billyfantasysports.com. I'll be updating them throughout the weekend. Hopefully give you some guys some options. Hit us up on social media with all of your start sick questions, and we'll get you covered there. What about Hunter Henry? Because he could actually be a potential option for Cole Kmet owners.
Yeah, so he's actually working his way back from this knee issue, which he's been dealing with for a while. He actually did get a limited session in yesterday, so it sounds like he's ramping up his activity. If he can kind of get back to full before the end of this week, we might have a chance to see him this weekend. If not, perhaps as we go forward.
Okay, and the last but not least, Luke Musgrave made an appearance on the practice field. Still in the IR, but kind of curious.
Well, he's been dealing with some reported kidney issue, whether it's a medical thing or like a physical thing, I'm not sure of. Either way, you don't want to be taking full contact with a kidney problem because that could lead to dire results. So sounds like whatever it is, he's improving and was actually listed as a limited participant, but he hasn't played since November 19th. So whatever it is, it's pretty significant. Hopefully it's not a medical issue that's going to require like long-term care or anything significant to be done. Hopefully it maybe was just some bruising or something on the kidney that occurred. I'm not really sure. Couldn't find the exact information on it, but you don't want to mess around with kidney injuries in the sport like football.
No, absolutely not. That does it for our list. Brian, it's been a fantastic year. I can't wait to see what we come up with next. But what do you have on the offseason that we all need to keep tabs on you and check out?
So we got the podcast that we keep doing. We've got a bunch of episodes kind of just simmering on the back stove, ready to be published. I just put one out last week, a cool one with a gentleman by the name of Jeremy Swick, who was the former curator at the Professional Football Hall of Fame, as well as the Collegiate Football Hall of Fame. So he had some really cool stories to share. That episode is out now. You can see that on my website at theinjuredlist.com. Next week, we're actually going to do a new episode and put that out right away. That's with me and Andrew LeDuc. He and I both co-author our blog called Inside the Medical Tent, where we give a lot of behind the scenes, kind of updated and accurate information on injured players and how they may affect your rosters, and along with some fantasy advice on how to navigate the situation. So we'll be doing a little bit of like a year-end review and kind of a summary for athletes that we're concerned about heading into the offseason. So definitely want to tune in for that. I will publish that next week after we record. And then, you know, we've got TSS Fantasy, Fantasy Sports Corps. We guesting on their shows and stuff, doing all that. And we got some merch. I think I showed that on your show a couple weeks ago, the Limpin' Ain't Easy t-shirt. You can find that at DCL4 Apparel, which is an awesome company we're working with that's putting out some new gear for us. So check that out as well. You can find links to that on the website too.
Excellent. Excellent stuff. Make sure you give him a follow at the Injured List Podcast. Mr. Brian Scott, always a fantastic guest. Love having you on. A happy new year to you, sir.
Same to you.
All right. We'll be checking you out soon. Don't you worry. Now let's get on to the second half of the show. We got Chaz Flaherty, second half Chaz. We got some bets to win. Chaz, I got a great one for you. I already won a parlay today. I had Joe Flacco over 233.5 passing yards, linked up with David Njoku over 51.5 receiving yards. That hit in the first half, hit almost in the first quarter. Love it.
You had the over 49.5 for the first quarter in the Jets Cleveland game.
The over on. That I didn't have the over on. It wasn't amazing. Ready for
you. Just amazing. It was just wild to watch that.
Well, the last six, look, no one can complain about Thursday night, Lele, because the last six Thursday night games have gone over. I would tend to agree
with you if it wasn't that I could complain about Thursday night, because this freaking stream I'm getting from Amazon is horrible. But I think they know that I don't like Amazon, and I bash them whenever I can. And I think they've isolated our signal.
They're like, screw that guy.
Corruption, baby. Personal sabotage. You know what? Remember, we had a few years. We used to do a show at the Fox Sports Grill downtown on Thursday nights. And we did squares and stuff. And there were some nights the only people that hung around were the ones that relied on the squares to win the final score. Because they were, you know, that's when Jacksonville was horrible.
Yeah, it was a given. Got ahead and locked that in. Yeah, it's perfect. But so we do have some cashing that we need to do for this Sunday.
Before we go anywhere, I think out of respect for how well we do usually, when we suck, we really have to accept the fact that last week I made a comment that the three teams that the three of us had. Where is Chris, by the way? Is he coming?
He should be here any moment.
Okay, yeah. So you can let him know what I said later. But the bottom line is, we had three teams, and I mentioned how many point spreads. I said, "Oh, this is like a college game." Not only did none of them cover, I think Green Bay was the only one that won, and that took overtime after blowing a huge lead. It was really a bizarre NFL weekend for our plays.
It was a bizarre weekend, period, Chaz. Hopefully the guys listening to the show had better luck than I did. I was just telling Brian this on the off screen. I had four leagues that I care about a lot. There's a lot of money involved. And all four of them, I had a bye week because I finished the number one seed and then lost all four of them last week. Couldn't quite get to the championship for this week. It just, just so frustrating. It was such a frustrating week in every single way, shape, way, or form. Betting-wise, did okay. Betting-wise, did okay. But, it was brutal. All right, let's cash some tickets so I can feel better. And Thursday night has been a nice little kickoff to getting back to being that.
Well, I tell you, when Thursday goes well for you, it means I usually have some open parlays. I've got some parlays now for live for Saturday this week and Sunday. So, Thursday really starts your week off good when it goes well.
Yeah, it can really start your week off bad when it doesn't go right either, though. Especially as a fantasy football guy. I've had a lot of Thursdays that didn't quite go my way, so I'm glad this one is. But we do have a Saturday night game this week for the third week in a row. It will be the last Saturday night game until the playoffs. Next week, remember, week 18, if you're looking to bet, it's all Sunday games because they're getting ready for the playoffs. They're trying to take away any advantages for teams heading into the postseason. So it'll be all on Sunday. So it's our last Saturday night game for at least a couple of weeks until we get to the postseason. Dallas and Detroit. So we got a good one on the docket here, and we actually kicked this thing off with one of my lock 'em ins of the week right off the bat.
Lock 'em in.
It's a lock.
I got Dallas here locking it in at 5.5 is what they're favored by at home against Detroit. Detroit's not the same team on the road, but there's another lock 'em in that I'm really excited about, and that's the over. This game's at 52. The Lions, you can throw on them all day. It's perfect for what Dallas has been trying to do offensively anyway. And the Detroit side of the ball, they put up points when they need to. And Dallas is a team that, guess what? I know statistically it may tell you one thing, but you can run at Dallas if you actually commit to it. If you actually have the offensive line to do it. Detroit has both. They commit to it. They have the power to push them around. They will be able to have success running the football, which usually leads to Detroit scoring points. I actually expect a high scoring affair. Dallas had 8 games going on the over. Detroit's had 10 games going on the over this year. So what do you got in this game?
Oh, so this week, what I did, guys, is I say guys, because sooner or later, Chris will show up, I hope. I highlighted the trends that were just really, really long because we're late in the season. So Dallas is 7-1-1 against the spread in their first quarters overall, and they've scored a touchdown or more. Think about that. The Lions on some quarters are now 7 because there's so many unders this year. It used to be 7.5, pretty consistent. They've scored 7 or more in 9 of 10. At home in the first quarter, it's 10-10, and they're 5-0 in their last 5 against the spread. But for the game, at home, they've scored 30-plus in 8 of 8, and they're 7-1 against the spread. I actually previously, while you guys were talking injuries, I think you were on the tight ends, I was clicking on the over Dallas in the first half.
Love it. Love it. It's on the way to all of our bets coming true there. For our next game, for our Sunday games, this is what we got up. We got the 49ers and the Washington Commanders. The 49ers are favored in this game at a -12.5 with an over under of 50, with most of that expected to come from the San Francisco 49ers. It does help that Jacoby Brissett is going to be starting quarterback for the Washington Commanders as far as that over is concerned. That's not where I'm placing my money. I think San Francisco, after getting thumped on Monday night on Christmas Day against the Ravens, take out their anger here on Washington, a far inferior team, and they actually cover the big line at 12.5. That's what I got in this game. What do you got?
I always like one of my handicapping. I always like to look and go back when a team that doesn't lose loses to see how it happens. And like San Francisco, similar to the Alabamas and the Clemsons and their runs and Georgia and their runs, you can't find it to look at what happened the last time they lost because they don't lose, you know. But here's a couple that jumped out. They allowed 28 plus. This is Washington. I'm 6 of 6. If you bet against Washington and over, so this would be San Francisco and over, which I will be betting, in the last 4 games, it's cashed 4 times. That's when Washington is on the road. Or Washington's at home. When Washington's at home, they allow 13 plus and 5 of 5, and the over and them losing is 4 of the last 4. Remember, when I talk about 4 out of 4 or 5 out of 5 or 3 out of 3 or 6 out of 6, whatever, and it's parlays, it's a whole different animal. You're talking parlays. You're talking 0.26 or, yeah, 2.6, right, to 1.
Yeah.
You don't really need to have a 100% winning record when you're getting $26 for your dime.
No, not at all. So we're on the same boat there from that standpoint. Okay, so next we got the Eagles. It's another big line. We got the Eagles and the Cardinals this week. Eagles at home. They're favored at -12 with an over-under of 48.5. I said this yesterday. I know the Eagles have not been covering these bigger spreads as of late. In fact, they've been having a hard time even winning games outside the Giants, and that one they could not cover. But the Arizona Cardinals are a really bad team. I know they're playing against one of their old defensive coordinators, and you know, you can call it a revenge game or whatever you want. Here's what I'm going to say, and I'm going to take the Eagles to cover for this reason. If they can't cover against the Arizona Cardinals, you can send off all the red flags that you want, because that would have to be a dysfunction on a whole other level than what we think the Eagles are dysfunctioning at now anyway. So that's where I'm at with the Philadelphia Eagles covering in this 12 line here against the Cardinals. What do you think?
No, the data matches the numbers match your words, my friend. In the first half, overall, they've allowed, this is Arizona, they've allowed 13 plus and 8 of 9 and are 1 and 7 against the spread. On the road, they've scored less than 16 or less in 8 of 9. And at home, Philly has scored 28 or more in 6 of 7. Well, 28 minus 16 is 12. What's the line in this game?
It's 48.
No, I meant the spread, the line.
Oh, it's 12 points.
Yeah. So there you go. 28 minus 16 is 12. I like Philly. Actually, I got to get my sheet out for when we do our parlay, but I'm pretty sure I'm coming back with a couple of these big favorites. I always throw money line parlay in. I think I got so it's Dallas, Baltimore, Buffalo, the Rams, Philly, and San Francisco on my money line. I got those teams, which are all good teams, and I got it at +264, I think, okay, for a 16 money line parlay. And you know, when you watch a game money line, it's a whole different animal than watching it with the point spread, especially when it's 12.
Yeah, you just need them to win at that point. Yeah, so especially for that. Okay, I like that. I like that a lot. Here's another one. Buffalo. I don't know if you mentioned them or not. I didn't hear.
They're on the list.
They're on the list. -13 against the New England Patriots. An over-under of 40. And this one's a little bit weird for me. Now, I don't have the cojones to say the Patriots are the underdog and they'll cover in this game. But the Buffalo Bills have a really bad habit of playing down to their opponent. We just saw it last week against the Los Angeles Chargers when it took them a game-winning field goal to pull out that game. Should they beat the Patriots by 14 points? Yeah, they probably should. The Patriots shouldn't have a prayer in this game. That's the problem with Buffalo, is that they don't seem to play their A game when they're supposed to just beat out a team like this. So there's a part of me that kind of wants to take New England, but I'm just going to say no bet for me on this one. What do you got?
Well, part of what I, you know, we're definitely on the same page. Of course, it didn't help us last week, but I got Buffalo team total over. I got Buffalo money line, but I have no bets here that involve Buffalo with the point spread. And the reason I'm doing that is because, you know, New England screwed me already last week. What was that, Denver? They beat Denver on the field, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Beat Denver. I remember I hemmed and hawed. I think I'm going Denver. So here's what we got with this one. New England has scored in their, and this is in their last seven games, they've scored a touchdown in the first quarter. One touchdown in their last seven games. Buffalo's under a 6-6. So I like the first quarter under. And, you know, again, it's usually seven and a half. In the second half at home, Buffalo's allowing 9 or less in 8 of 9, and they're scoring 10 plus and 11 of 12. And again, you may not know this about me, but I tend to favor second half wagers.
Absolutely. That's why I second half Chaz. So yeah, we can still find some value in this game, even though I don't like the overall value on the line here. What about the big game of the week? The Baltimore Ravens and the Miami Dolphins. This game in Baltimore, coming back to the East Coast. Ravens are favored in this game at -3 with an over-under of 47. This is not my underdog pick of the week. I am cashing on the Ravens to cover here at -3. Now, there's some things about the Ravens right now that I don't like. I don't like the fact that we just talked about in the injury segment of this show, Zay Flowers, number one receiver, seems very, very iffy as far as his availability to be able to play this week. And if he can't go, the offensive firepower really starts to dwindle. And you're going up against the Miami Dolphins defense that's playing its best football right now. Vic Fangio really has those guys playing well. Though I know everybody talks about the Dolphins offense. No one's paying attention to the defense. And the fact that defense is actually playing playoff football right now. So that does bother me a little bit about the Ravens. I think that's part of the reason why this line's so close. On the flip side, the Dolphins aren't going to have Jalen Waddle, one of their bigger receivers. So the Ravens will be able to spend all their focused time on Tyreek Hill. Now, does that mean you're going to shut out Tyreek Hill? No, it doesn't. But can you limit him? Yes, it does give you an easier time to limit him. So I actually think when we go through this game, the bet that I'm looking to make is the under at 47. I don't think we're going to see a ton of points scored here. So what do you got for this game?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because with Hill, it's really just, it gives you another guy to chase Hill. So now you got two guys chasing Hill instead of one, you know. Baltimore in the first half overall, 11-1 against the spread. They've scored 10 plus in all 12 of those games. But here's the thing. They've scored 23 plus in 10 of 11. And at home, it's 31 plus in 5 of 5. So that's when I do a handicap, Dan. A lot of times I look at the game, I look at who they're playing, what they play, I look at everything. And then my final thing is I predict the score for both teams. So I predict the score of Baltimore using Baltimore stats, that I predict the score for Miami using Miami's. And then I've got two different scores. So I got what I think Miami will score, what I think they'll give up, and what I think Baltimore score, what I think they'll give up. And I kind of find a hedge, and that's where I look for my team totals. And I like that under bet you mentioned.
Okay, there we go. We're all on the same page there too. I love it. On the same page a lot today.
Let's remember how many times this year those you talked specifically about it last week with that. You said once it gets at a high numbers this year, it's been unders.
Yeah, it really has been. We've seen some of these higher numbers start to come back a little bit. In certain spots, and it still really doesn't quite hit there, normally speaking.
But I say it almost every week for certain games, not every game. There are certain games that you could tell early, I got a feeling again, this will be one of them. With the San Francisco-Baltimore game, you could tell early what was happening with that game. And it was funny because we talked about how weird the point spread was. Well, guess what? In hindsight, they just kept making it. They just kept trying to get money on San Francisco, and it didn't work, you know?
Yeah, no, that's pretty much what it boiled down to. And hopefully you didn't bet for San Francisco.
Well, remember, I was sitting next to a girl dressed in purple that game.
Oh.
And it was fun. It was fun. When you're with a fan and you got the team, because I'm not a fan of any team, but she was just hoot and holler. And it was just a good night to watch football in our house.
No, yeah, it was still a great game that we were looking forward to, too. I got some breakdowns on that game. Make sure you go back and check out our show from yesterday, the Operation Domination full preview. We did talk about a little bit about that game and that one with some of my thoughts. So check that out.
and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Getting on here, we got the Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We
I have to interject, and I'm not. I'm just talking because I look at everything we do from a very business standpoint, ROI, how much do I invest. I talked to somebody about contests. I said I stopped doing contests years ago because I realized it was really a donation. It wasn't a contest entry. I was donating that money to somebody else who's going to do it because my handicapping skills aren't there for contests because nobody wants to. There's no first quarter contest. I should start a second half contest in here. I should really do that. But my point is that if you don't sign up to your guys' YouTube channel, you're just leaving knowledge on the table that instead of getting it in an hour, you could spend 5 hours looking for it. Duh. It just to me seems like you shouldn't even have to say that. You should assume sign up for the guy's YouTube channel.
I appreciate that a lot, Chaz. It means a lot coming from
you.
But
you know how much work data and takes to get? If somebody else is going to do it, if somebody was doing the second half lines, I wouldn't be doing it. I'd just go watch their podcast.
It's a good point. It's a very good point. We got the Saints and the Buccaneers, and we got one of my lock 'em in picks of the week right here.
Lock 'em in. It's a lock.
That is Tampa Bay covering in this game at -2.5. The Bucs are just a better team right now, flat out. This game is in Tampa Bay. Baker Mayfield's playing very, very well. The Saints play up and down to their opponents, but the fact is this, and I'm curious to see if your numbers reflect this, but the Saints don't show up till the second half of ball games for the most part, and it's usually because they let the first half go away and then they got to come back in the second half. I'm taking Tampa Bay to win this game easily and by the -2.5. I think it's one of the best value bets that you can have on the week. So what do you got here?
Yeah, I don't have Manscaped. I don't use the product. I have a razor, but I don't use it that often. But I do use this Sharpie highlighter that you can push the button. It's retractable. I should be getting a spot for that because that's what I use to highlight the two things that I highlighted. Two things. First quarter, New Orleans, 1-9 against the spread. Second half, New Orleans, 8-1 against the spread. So there you go. That's the only two things I highlighted. You nailed that one.
Yeah, this is how it's gone. They just don't put their pedal to the metal until they absolutely have to, which is a big reason why this team's not in the lead for the division.
But when you're talking about, we're talking about 10 times now. We're talking about 10 times, right? 1-9 and 8-1 or whatever. Those, you know what? You could look to argue. I remember the other day, last week, I said, Houston's going to give me 20 points because they give me 20. Oh, well, Chris says, yeah, but CJ Stroud's out. The bottom line is an organization that gets you 20 points, gets you 20 points, not just a one person. They get you 20 points because whatever. It's a field goal. It's a defense. Whatever it is, it gets you to 20 points. They get you to 20 points. A team that flips the switch at a halftime like that, you know, it's really good coaching, but it's poor coaching if you think about it because obviously you did not have these guys prepared.
No, it's absolutely poor coaching because what it is that every time you come in with a game plan, you have to literally tear it up, throw it out, and just tell Derek Carr to go ahead and sling it and hope that he come back. That's all that it is. That's why you get numbers like that when teams are way.
Did you see the by the way note from Brian?
I did see the by the way note from Brian.
Yeah. Well, that's I have the second half. That's for today's game, right?
Yeah, that's the game.
He was having a great game.
Yeah, he has scored a touchdown. So in case you guys don't know, behind the scenes, Brian let me know that Elijah Moore got a concussion in the Thursday night game that is going on now, and he's officially been ruled out with a head injury. He already had a touchdown heading into this one. That game, still 34-17, getting late into the third quarter.
Well, it's always scary because have you had any concussions yourself?
I have.
Yeah. Paralysis can kick in, right? Especially in your hands. And it's freaky when you see it. I told my wife one day, I said, that guy's not doing good. She goes, how do you know? Look at his hand. His hand's flipping out. And that's what I saw with this guy laying on the ground. It's scary because those little guys are getting hit by big guys, you know? Of course, he hit Mother Nature, really. What happened is he came down face first.
Yeah, he slammed his head on the ground. That's really what got him on that one. So hopefully he's going to be okay. Fantasy-wise, you know, you probably weren't playing Elijah Moore in your championships. So that's probably the good news, even with Amari Cooper out today. But, yeah, hopefully he'll be okay. We got the Rams and the New York Giants next. The Rams on the road here, but still favored at -5.5 with an over-under of 43. Oh, look, it's another lock bet for me.
Lock them in.
It's a lock.
Yeah, the Rams have been rolling. They're 8-5-2 against the spread. The Giants, the only thing I like about Tyrod Taylor starting with the Giants side is that maybe this game actually has a chance to hit the over, too. But we're taking the Rams here to cover with no sweat whatsoever with the way they've been playing football and how bad the Giants are. So, yeah, give me that. Give me the Rams. What do you got in this game?
Yeah, well, they're actually on my parlay. So the parlay is a four-team half-one round robin with threes and four. Cleveland, which was a winner. I got over Detroit-Dallas, which we talked about. I got the Rams, and the fourth one is to be decided because we haven't gotten to that game yet. Okay. So with the Rams in the first half, they're 5-0 against the spread in their last five, scoring 13-plus on all of them. And in the last eight games, the Giants have scored 7 points or less in the first half. 7 points in the first half. It's 7 of 8 of them. So, yeah, I like the Rams.
Like that. So we're on the same page there. What about next? Is the Carolina Panthers taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars? We talked about Trevor Lawrence in the first half of today's show that we kind of think Trevor Lawrence is going to find a way to gut it out yet again through another injury for the third week in a row and play through this thing. Taking on the Carolina Panthers, it's in Jacksonville. The Jaguars are favored at -6 points with an over-under of 38. I am not reading into the fact that Carolina looked like they actually had a competent football team last week against the Green Bay Packers to say all of a sudden Carolina's here. They don't cover, and I'm going to continue to bet them as if they don't cover. Maybe you want to wait until we know for sure Trevor Lawrence is going to play or not. I don't know, but I don't know how much I care either. I'm taking the Jaguars cover -6 in this game. What do you got?
Yeah, this game is nowhere to be seen, and I have a sheet full of plays here. I've got to have 20 plays on this sheet. There's none to be found, but I do have in their road games, in their last four, they've scored 18 or less in all of them, and I'm pretty sure you can get 18 points out of Jacksonville.
Yeah, you should be able to do that quite easily with Jacksonville, especially Trevor Lawrence is going to be out there. What about the Raiders taking on the Colts? The Raiders showing up against Kansas City, and while it's still a long shot, actually has somewhat of a shot if Kansas City were to lose out and they were to win out that they could actually take this division. Believe it or not, that's kind of where we are now with NFL in 2023. Yeah, the Colts are favored in this game at Indianapolis, -3.5 with a 42.5 over under. Michael Pittman, we expect to be back. So I think the Colts will have a full plethora of weapons in this game. And look, the Raiders, you look at them on paper, they shouldn't win this game. They're playing with all emotion and high intensity off of Antonio Pierce. I'm not betting this game. I have no feel, no idea what to expect from either one of these two teams. So what do you got, Chaz?
I have a game. This is my game. Wagers. I have 7 wagers on the game that you want nothing to do with. And that really is the beauty handicap. And I always tell Vic, you could be at a table with 4 guys and they all got the same game and nobody has the same thing. You got the team total. I got the under. Chris has the over. Somebody else has the side, you know? So here's what I got. First of all, I'm going to read some numbers to you. 5-0 against the spread. 5-0 against the spread. 5-1-1 against the spread. 7-1-1 against the spread. And those are against the spread records of the Las Vegas Raiders? Is this like a parallel dimension? This is when you get the Scooby-Doo music, you know? Oh, my goodness gracious. And then I got my notes in red. How bad was that Belichick mini-me? No. They got rid of him, and this team exploded. So here's the bets. In the first quarter, I will have the Raiders. In the second quarter, I will have the over. In the first half, I will have the over. In the second half, I will have Indy. For the game, I'll have Indy team total over. For the game, I'll have Indy. And for the game, I'll have Indy and over. I will have 7 wagers on that game. Vicky has to work, so she won't be home. God bless her. She gets confused with these games. But you know what? Again, you go 6-1, you go 5, even go 5-2. That's a successful game.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you got a lot of action on the Raiders in different ways. Okay, we'll see.
I think Indy's going to win the game, though. I really do.
They really should win the game at home. They really, really should. And the Raiders should be coming off an emotional game, and it could usually lead to a letdown. But with the way they've played, especially defensively, it's really hard to say. And the Colts, I mentioned with Buffalo earlier, the Colts have a bad habit of playing up and down to their competition.
Yeah, and that's the, by the way, that's the 4th team in that first half. It's the over in this first half.
Okay. All right.
So
I like
that. I got two overs. Like Cleveland is already a winner. I got the Rams and two overs. So yeah, you know what? When you hit the first game of a parlay, it's pretty cool. But when you start hitting round robin parlays, sooner or later they become straight bets. And that's when it's really cool, when you hit the straight bets, you know?
All the tips that you need from Chaz Florid, how to win money in many, many, many different ways. That's why he's the man.
Seven, like the I got seven wagers in a game where you said I want nothing to do with this game. I don't know if to be proud or to sign myself in for help, you know?
Oh, our next game, I do have a wager on. We got the Houston Texans and the Tennessee Titans in Houston. Houston's favored at -4 with an over-under of 44. C.J. Stroud got cleared from concussion today. They got their starting quarterback back in the building. Nico Collins is good to go. Noah Brown is good to go. And we may even see Will Levis for the Tennessee Titans on the other side. So we may see a rookie face-off here this week. But Houston Texans on the cusp of getting into playoffs. I want to see them get in the playoffs. And with C.J. Stroud, I think they win this game at home handedly. I got Houston covering this game at -4. No problemo. What do you got in this one?
All right, so in the first quarter, overall, Houston is 1-8 against the spread. In the second half, overall, Tennessee is 1-8 against the spread. Nobody wants to win. But I do have scores 20-plus and 8-8. It was 7-7 last week. Now it's 8-8. So you're going to get 20 points out of Houston, guaranteed. So, you know, use that to start. I don't even know what the over is on that game, to be honest with you.
It's 44.
Yeah, see, 20 is half of 44, close. So you know what? If you like Houston, you got to say, do you think you're going to get any points out of Tennessee? You know, they've been scoring some points. So I don't know. We'll see.
Not a lot. They scored 16 points last time, took on the Houston Texans, too, and that was in Tennessee. Houston Texans, they're a better defense than people realize. That's really what it boils down to. That D'Amico Ryans has that defense playing pretty well.
Yeah, in the second half, they're allowing 11 or less in the last three.
Yep. So let's go ahead and take the under. I think we're going to get the under here on top of Houston Texans covering the -4. Moving on, we got my next lock-em-in bet of the week. We got the Atlanta Falcons taking on the Chicago Bears in Chicago. Bears favored at -3 with an over-under of 38. And
lock them in.
It's a lock.
Lock in those Chicago Bears at -3. I love the way they're playing. They're playing inspired football right now. That defense is really coming together. One top five defense over the past 2 months now, all of a sudden, if you weren't paying attention. And the Atlanta Falcons are a terrible team on the road. I don't care if Taylor Heinicke is going to be the starting quarterback for them this week. It's going to be in Chicago. So I like the Bears here to cover at -3, frankly. And I'm hoping this undoes the damage the Colts did by losing to the Falcons last week, because I need to see Arthur Smith get fired. We need a new blood there in Atlanta, because I'm tired of seeing these weapons get wasted. But that's just a side note for me. What do you got, Chaz?
They had a chance to kick a field goal in a Super Bowl, and they chose to not kick that field goal. And it's like a movie. Their whole destiny got changed, right? Their whole destiny got changed. Yeah. You win a Super Bowl there, beat the Patriots, and all of a sudden, two destinies could have been changed. Who knows? Maybe Brady would still be married. All right, so what do we got? First quarter, Atlanta 1-7 against the spread. First quarter, Chicago 6-1 against the spread. That's overall. It's 1-12 against the spread on the road for Atlanta. They haven't scored a point in their last three first quarters. In the second half on the road, in their last eight, they've scored 9 points or less in 7 of them. Those aren't numbers that make you want to bet them. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
The Bears.
All Bears. Let's go. What about Steelers and Seattle Seahawks in Seatlle favored at -3.5 with an over-under of 41? Look, guys, I get it. Mason Rudolph surprised us last week. It was Rudolph. It was Christmas weekend. That was how it was going to be. Okay. George Pickens has the big games because of blown tackles and blown coverage. Mason Rudolph stinks. Seattle is actually pretty good and fighting for that last playoff spot and looking like they're coming together at the right time. I am taking Seattle to cover at -3.5 here at home. What do you got in this game?
Those last two wins by Seattle were pretty exciting wins, weren't they? In the end, like that?
Yeah. Down to the wire.
Not a lot of data on this game. This game doesn't make it on this sheet, and this sheet has a lot of plays on it that didn't make it on here. So, but the only one I've got is in the second half. Remember, I'm looking at 8, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 things that have happened for more than a couple months. And as games play out, what I'll do is I'll pull out that Easy Sports data. If it's a game that I didn't have and I look and see, okay, does this game remind me of anything that's happened recently? I look really at this time of year, Dan, the last 3-4 weeks. Really, that's what I'm looking at. Anything before that, like you said, rosters change with injuries. Then this year, it's been an amazing turnover. But yeah, so the only thing I've got in the second half on the road, Pittsburgh is under an 8 of 9.
Okay. Okay, and that bodes well when you're talking about teams that go under in the second half. That usually bodes well for if you're picking the other team to win, because that means that team is not doing what they need to do to win. I mean, unless they're up big in the first half, you can make that argument. With a team like Pittsburgh, it's more about you're not doing what you got to do to win at the end of the game, and so that usually bodes well for them.
Yeah, they've scored 16 or less in 3 straight on the road.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a lot, but see, the thing, that's the other thing. When you look at 9 out of 10 or 10 out of 11 or 11 out of 11, and it's overall, that's 3 months. But 5 games on the road is equal to 10 games at home, because usually it takes you, 10 weeks to go 5 games on the road.
Absolutely. So yeah, we like Seattle here at -3.5 on that too. All right. So what about Cincinnati, Kansas City? A lot of smack talk and getting drummed up here by Ja'Marr Chase, who, like I said in the first segment here, I know he's banged up, did come back and practice a limited capacity today, but the way he's sounding off, he better play, because he better not sound off the way he is right now and then not play in this game due to injury, because otherwise he needs to keep his mouth shut. But this is going to be an interesting game. What's turned into kind of a cross-divisional rivalry game between Kansas City and the Cincinnati Bengals. I know Kansas City seems lost. I get it. They just lost against the Raiders. They've been dysfunctional all season long. But the Bengals are just not the same team. Jake Browning's played well at times, sure, especially when Ja'Marr Chase has been on the field. But Kansas City's defense is very, very good. Despite all the struggles offensively, it's very good. And Cincinnati can't stop a nosebleed right now. I am going to take the Chiefs to cover here at 6.5, even though that has not been their thing as of late. This is a gut call for me, Chaz. What do you have in this game?
In the first, let's see, we're looking at overall, in their last 7, the Chiefs have allowed 20 or less in 6 of them. I couldn't believe that, because my words exactly were, I don't see how the Raiders win, but I don't think the Chiefs may cover. So I'm going to go with the Raiders team total under, and in 7 seconds, I lost the wager. There was a scoop and score and a pick 6. I went from winning to losing in 7 seconds. What else? Christopher, how are you? Let's welcome Chris. What do we got here? Oh, then here's another one for Kansas City. This is in the second half at home. They've scored less than 10 in 8 straight games at home. Less than 10 points in the second half. Now, on the road, Cincinnati, first half over 6 straight. Second half over 4 straight, and 5 straight. They've allowed 31 plus in 3 of them over for the game on the road. So maybe that'll help Kansas City find themselves.
Let's hope that it does. We did have Chris for a second. It looked like he.
Oh, good, good. Because you know what? I've been sick, and I thought maybe the Mets were kicking in. He was there, and then he was gone.
Chris, can you hear us? Christopher. We just have this blank look on his face right now. So I'm guessing. Maybe. Better late than never, Chris. Always way to catch us at the end of the show here, but better late than never. All right, so we're moving on here. We got 2 more games to talk about. It's the Chargers and the Denver Broncos. What a game this is going to be, man. So we got Jared Stidham taking over. Russell Wilson, he gone. He done. We're going to cut him in March. That's what the Broncos are saying. We already know we have Easton Stick and all the backups for the Chargers there on that side. This game is in Denver. They're favored by -3.5 points. The over-under is set at 37. And this is one of those games where you have no idea what to expect whatsoever. But call it a gut feel. Jared Stidham, I think Sean Payton's going to actually open up this offense, believe it or not, with Jared Stidham, more so than he did with Russell Wilson. I think the Broncos actually cover this one at -3.5 at home. Just call it a feel. Just call it a feel. Chaz, what are you looking at in this game?
All right, so the highlight on the left says, in the first quarter, the Chargers have scored 3 or less in 7 of 7. It's been under in 5 of the last 6. Denver has allowed 0 points recently in the first quarter, and they're 10-1-1 against the spread. Then it shows that in the second half, the Chargers have scored 10-plus in 6 of 7, and Denver has scored 12-plus in 6 of 6. And at home, that against the spread mark in the first quarter for the Broncos is 7-0.
Okay. Chris, what do you think about this game between the Chargers and the Broncos?
Yeah, it's a tough call with all these backups playing in this game. I think it's probably still going to go Denver. Their defense is better. I think even with Jarrett Stidham at quarterback, they'll still be better offensively than the Chargers are. No Keenan Allen at practice again today. So I think this Denver can cover in this game, and I think they should win.
I mean, no Josh Palmer either. Like, they're going to be down. Quentin Johnson might have to be the number one receiver for this team this week, too. So let's keep that in mind. Our last game on the week, I talked about this yesterday. I'm not betting it. And now I changed my mind because of who the Vikings, I think in my opinion, stupidly decided to go with at quarterback for this week. So the Vikings right now against the Green Bay Packers, that's the Sunday night game. They're favored at home by a point. So it's basically a pick'em situation. 43.5 over under. And because the Vikings announced they're going to go Jaren Hall, not Josh Dobbs, not Nick Mullins. You have Jordan Addison out. You lost TJ Hockenson for the season. We're going to go with the rookie quarterback who we drafted in the 5th round out of BYU. I am going to take, we finally have, my underdog pick of the week. Not saying much, but that is going to be the Green Bay Packers to win this game outright in this one. Chaz, what do you have?
Overall, in the first half, they've scored double digits in 7 straight. Their last 5 games have all gone over, but they've lost and have gone over in 3 of 3. Let's see. On the road, they're scoring 13-plus in the first half, and they're allowing points in the second half. But in the second half at home, Minnesota's 1-7 against the spread. So, yeah, I'm glad it's not ruining my Monday. This game ain't going to ruin my Monday.
No, it's just your Sunday night. That's all. Chris, what do you think for this game, man? What do you think about the Vikings going with Jaren Hall at the quarterback position?
Well, that was their original plan after Cousins went out. They didn't have Nick Mullins, so he was on an IR at the point. They hadn't traded for Josh Dobbs yet, so they were going to go with Hall, but Hall got injured, wasn't playing too poorly that beginning of the game, but wound up having getting nothing finished that first game. So I guess they're going back to the well. I don't know if this is a thing that's going to change a whole lot. We see no matter who plays quarterback pretty much for the Vikings, there's going to be a lot of turnovers. I don't know if that's on the coaching staff or that's just on the players, but I mean, Kirk Cousins had some turnovers when they went 1-4 stretch, that mid part of the season too. So I don't know if this is going to necessarily solve the Vikings' issues, but the Packers aren't necessarily a team that you want to bet on either, so it's tough for me.
Yeah, that's why I go with the underdog pick. I needed one. This is the only one that looked to me like it could actually be a legitimate underdog pick. At least they're going in there with their full team, or at least partially their full team. They do get Jaden Reed back this week, so that'll be big. All right, so while we get ready for the parlay bets, Chris, you could tell me what you think about these lock player props that I have for everybody. Hit on all 3 of them last week, so let's see if we can go ahead and keep this going. Matthew Stafford, 257.5 passing yards. He's been over that the last 4 games in a row. Another great matchup here against the New York Giants. So that's number one. Number two, David Montgomery on Saturday night, 53.5 rushing yards. He's been over that in every game this season that he has finished. So in every game that he's played all 4 quarters, he's been over 53.5 rushing yards all year long. That includes even the latest with Jahmyr Gibbs getting a bigger role. It does not matter. I have the over on that. Then last but certainly not least, Chris Olave at 66.5 receiving yards. He's been over that 3 of the last 4. And Tampa Bay has allowed the most receiving yards to wide receivers this season. Carlton Davis likely to miss with a concussion issue, so they're still having injuries on the back end. The boots, Chris Olave is being a target monster. Give me over 66.5 for Chris Olave this week. What do you think, Chris?
I like them all. I think, Chris Olave has got a good matchup versus Tampa Bay, playing a lot of single coverage with Carlton Davis, as you alluded to, out. Matthew Stafford's got a smash matchup versus the Giants. I think that's definitely a home run. I think all 3 of them were great moves. So I think you hit 3 on last, hopefully 3 again this week.
I'm liking it. I already hit two today. I told Jazz I had Joe Flacco over 233 and a half yards and David Njoku over 51 and a half yards. I hit that in the freaking first quarter. So that was great here tonight. All right. So now that we got that out the way, we get to go into our parlay, our last parlay of the year, gentlemen. So let's make it a good one. Let's go into the new year with a bang. Chris, do you still need a minute?
No, I can go with this one. I went double digits last week and it burned me versus the Chargers, but I'm going to go with the 49ers to be able to cover versus Washington. I think this Commanders team's a joke as an offense, joke as a team. I think the 49ers are going to get right and kind of grind the axe against this Washington team this week.
I did say earlier, at least Washington finally decided they're going to start Jacoby Brissett. You know, better late than never, but I guess. But yeah, but I agree with you. I think 49ers do cover. I like that one. So minus 12 and a half. Mine is going to be the Rams at minus 5.5 over the New York Giants. I love them to continue to roll in a nice matchup here. They're still competing for the playoff lives. They have a lot on the line. I think there's no reason why they don't cover that spread against New York here. So mine's the Rams. Chaz, what is yours?
Yeah, you know, Chris shows up for 3 minutes and steals my freaking play. What's up with that? You hear from the very beginning of the show, and he comes in and he snoops my play. And the reason I had them, I was mentioning, I got Dallas, Baltimore, Buffalo, the Rams, Philly, and San Francisco in a money line play. It's like almost 3-1. And then I did a round robin with them against the spread. So those are my top six teams. So, I mean, they're probably, they're probably winning 70% of their games as teams. So I said to myself, those are really my first two. I'm afraid of Dallas because Detroit's good. I'm afraid of Baltimore because they just won that big game, and that's why I kind of like San Francisco because they're coming off the loss.
Chad, if you want to take the San Francisco one, you go ahead and take that one. And I'll take the Eagles covering versus Arizona.
All right. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'll just take the Eagles then because they're on my list. So it don't really matter because when I bet these round robin with our picks, they don't ask me whose play is whose. They just take my money.
Last week they took it and laughed at me. Who dropped the ball this week, though? That's the one I want to make sure noted.
All right. So, okay. Well, I wrote it down. I got me, Philly. What is it? Was it double digits too, wasn't it?
Philly is minus 12 and a half as well.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, you know what? This is the time of year where the teams that are the best teams are supposed to show that they're the best teams. But this year has not worked out that way. I mean, every single week, right? There's teams that are getting double digits and win the game outright. Every week, it seems.
Yeah, no, I agree. This is when you're supposed to be playing your best football. It's when the teams start to separate themselves when we go into the playoffs. That does it. That was our last episode of the year. Last episode of the 2023 season. Last episode of the MD's Fantasy Football Show podcast.
Well, you know what? Since this is the last show, I'll officially tear up the parlay's ticket that I got in New Orleans on the very first show. Here's what I had. Buffalo, Cincinnati, Tennessee, the Chiefs, the Eagles, Minnesota, the Saints, and San Francisco. I mean, even if I had done a round robin with twos, I don't think I cashed in there. Anyway. Buffalo might win it. Cincinnati ain't winning it, right? Tennessee's not winning it. Kansas City might win it. Eagles might win it. Minnesota's not winning it. The Saints might win it. San Francisco's winning it, I think, right?
Yeah.
So much for that, five buckaroonies. And I got an Uber, like, at 7 in the morning to get downtown New Orleans because we were staying in the town next door. To do that, probably spent more on the Uber.
it's hard to bet the beginning of the season. That's what makes it fun, though, and we'll be back.
I'll do it again next year. Count on it, baby.
Absolutely. Chaz, of course, will be involved in whatever we come up with next, Chris, along with Chase and Adam. But yes, so if you've been following the MD's Fantasy Football Show, that's all you got to do. You just follow us on YouTube. You follow us on social media at BellyFMDFF Show on X, MDFF Show, everywhere else. You'll be grandfathered into the new brand, whatever that winds up becoming. we are going to look to change some things, change the way how we present some of the information to you guys, maybe a little more creative, a little more entertaining, and hopefully still get you to cash tickets and win your fantasy football championships, which always will be the two main goals of this show. But we'll be doing some different things, and I'm excited for that and for that change. So thank you guys for everything you've done. It's been, you know, a good 5-year run as the MD Space Football Show. We built up an audience. I am very, very proud of it.
I will tell you right now, I know that the activity I'm getting on my social media is a direct result of you guys, because I ain't touched it in 2 months because I've been too busy handicapping. So I appreciate the opportunity.
Chaz, always appreciate you being on the show, my man, and we'll have you on whatever new form of fashion we take on. So, Chaz, what do you got going on this offseason? You got anything people need to be checking out?
Actually, you know what? I'm dedicating this offseason to finishing my screenplay. I wrote a screenplay, and it's registered with the world. I'm a writer. That's basically what I do. And what it is, how I describe it is The Italian Job meets It's a Wonderful Life. It's a Christmas movie about sports betting, and I'm very excited about it.
Awesome. Well,
Did either of you see The Italian Job?
Yes.
Okay. Decent movie, right? Did either of you see It's a Wonderful Life?
Of course.
It's a decent movie. Put them together. It's sports betting, baby. So that's what I'm doing. I'm going to the next level with my writing. I'm taking a hiatus from Better Collective and Vegas Insider, and I'm going to get this stuff finished up, because I see what's out there content wise, and my shit's better than that. I walk around all day. I can do this. I know it's a lofty goal, but I can do this. I can do this.
Come to a theater near you. I can't wait, man. I can't wait. That's very exciting. We'll keep our eyes on that. All right. So with that, it ends the show. Guys, I hope you have a good weekend. I hope you win your championships. I hope we cash some tickets. And I hope you follow us along and what our announcement will be over the next month. Very exciting stuff coming up over the off season. We won't be going anywhere. So make sure you keep following us on social media. And before we head out of here, Chaz, for the last time, as you always like to say.
Yeah, let's always be cashing, huh?
Always be cashing. Happy New Year, guys.